5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. I wonder all the time, is it working? Is the advice I share really getting in there with you and making a difference? Am I helping to flatten your learning curve so that you are more efficient and successful in finding opportunities in your sports career? Or you're nailing an interview or hustling for a networking opportunity, building a relationship with someone in the industry? Obviously, the stuff that I'm talking about has worked for me, and it's worked for the people that I've hired, because that's where I get my concepts from, my real life over 20 years in the sports industry. But does it work for you? That's the real rubber meets the road question. Many of you have posted on our private Facebook group to say thanks. I've received cards in the mail to say you like something I had to say, and others have told me I've made their road trip better, more entertaining. That's all great. But I kind of wanted to hear somebody say, your advice, it helped me get a job. I know, maybe I'm needy, which would be true. I am a bit needy. But in reality, we are all inspired by something. And for me, the opportunity to make a difference for all of you out there that listen is really, really motivating. And then it happened. I received an email yesterday from Jackson Amos, a student at the University of Florida, and he shared a story. Here's Jackson. The main reason I'm reaching out is that I wanted to thank you and let you know that your advice really does work. See, I have this huge creative side that most people that know me have no knowledge of. I've been using programs like Photoshop for a few years now, but I've never published my work. After listening to your show, I decided to create a professional Twitter account and started posting my creative content for the world to see. And the craziest things have started to happen. I've reached over 8,000 views on some of my videos, and it actually landed me a job. The Gator, University of Florida, Gator basketball team reached out to me through direct messages asking if I want to join their team as their graphics coordinator. It has been about 3 weeks with them, and I have completely run away with it. I want to seize this opportunity and never look back. My hobby has now turned into a job, and I couldn't be more excited to walk into work every day. Just wanted to share this with you and let you know how much you're appreciated and how your podcast really does help students. Okay, so the idea here isn't for me to say, hey, look at me, my advice works, everybody should listen. No, the real point here is that everyone will pull something different from our content. Every one of you will find something that speaks to you and makes you take action. So find that thing and act on it. For Jackson, it was my episode where I talked about leaning into skills and learning new skills and applying them and putting them out there and not being afraid of them. Using your passion place in order to cater your own experience in sports. But for you, it might be something totally different. I was at a conference once, and I was feverishly taking notes, like just everything being said, writing stuff down, rah, rah, rah. And a friend leaned over to me and said, 20%. Since I didn't feel like a complete thought, I asked, what the hell do you mean by just uttering 20%? And he explained, you're never going to act on 100% of what this dude up there says. So just pick out 20% that really resonates with you, a few topics, and really lean into them. That meant a lot and put a laser focus on actionable items for me. So I present to you 100% of my ideas, and you guys get to figure out your 20%. It'll be different from person to person. You'll have different ideas of what is important to you and what sticks out and what you think you can act on. So I went back and I listened to our last, 8 to 10 episodes, and I picked out my 20%. The actionable items from our guests that really resonated with me, and I put them all together into one episode. We start off with one of my favorites, Chris Valente, Director of Sales for Fenway Sports Management. For years, I've been telling people, consider working in sales as a way to break into sports. There are more jobs in that part of the industry than any other. And Chris said, not so fast. And I love that he challenged me to think a little bit differently. After that, DeAndre Duggins, Baltimore Ravens manager of advertising and branding, with a strong suggestion on something you should really learn no matter what part of the sports industry you plan to enter.
If you literally have no interest in being in sales and your core passion is public relations or being in the newsroom like you or Brian, I would not apply for a sales job, because you're going to quickly realize that even though you're working for X team, it's not the job you want to do, and it's not sitting down the right path. And you're going to quickly flunk out, because if you're doing any job, whether it doesn't matter what industry you're in, and you don't enjoy it, the likelihood of you being good at that job is very, very low.
And that's really good advice.
There's no point in just having a job to say, I work for the Boston Red Sox. Like, that's not a good way to start out your career. But with the people who are open to it and think of it as an opportunity and they see it as something they're interested in, you get to be an entrepreneur. I mean, if you're in sales, you're pretty much in the control of your own destiny, where everything else you do pretty much is dictated and you have set responsibilities. Where in sales, like, you get to go out and meet people, talk to new individuals, broadcast out in terms of what your creativity is. It's really an opportunity. The sky's the limit. You can go as far as you want in sales, depending on how much effort you're willing to put in and how creative you can get. So it's getting that word sales out of the equation. Like I said, I think it has a negative connotation. And yeah. I don't know, we can come up with a better word at some point, because I think it definitely turns some people off. They think used car salesperson, and it's like, no, it's not that at all.
No, it's not.
If you're going to sell anything and you really do want to be in this business and you want to be in sales, what better way than to sell something you actually really are passionate about? It's much easier to sell that than, no offense to the life insurance industry, than life insurance if you have no passion for that. So
yep.
I would not tell anyone to turn it off just because they see a title that says sales.
Even if it's not part of your curriculum now, take a class on, selling or, consumer marketing.
Okay.
Because a lot of sports management, at least my curriculum, we didn't focus a lot on consumer marketing. Obviously, it was very focused on sports. And if you can master consumer marketing, I mean, you've mastered every industry pretty much, because everyone's a consumer and everyone's selling something, whether the widget is a sports game or a piece of clothing, you're selling something. So to be in that mindset of always be selling, to always know how to message to the consumer, to predict consumer behaviors, like those types of things are important.
DeAndra is spot on. Learning how the consumer thinks and how to approach them will be a valuable asset no matter what role you are in any industry. Sports is big business, and big business survives off of revenue creation. Pivoting back to Chris Valente for a second, one thing in my interview with Chris that became very clear, he believes very much in the power of learning the business in the minor leagues, and explains why it made such a huge difference in his career. Then we go on to Carl Keating, Nike brand lead at the House of Hoops. Carl has watched the changes in the industry and has identified a very specific area young people entering the biz can make their mark early on.
When you're in the minors, it requires you to do everything, whether it's roll the tarp, whether it's carry bobblehead boxes, whether it's go to community events, ticket sales. You are doing everything, because that organization is operating no different than the Boston Red Sox, but likely with 25 to 30 people instead of 300 people.
Right.
So I truly think in terms of, I mean, I started at the NFL, went to the NHL, and then working for the Devils, I ended up going and staying with the Devils, but working in the minor league system.
Okay.
If it wasn't for that, going to the minor leagues, I would not be where I am today, because I truly learned what it meant to sell. I truly learned every aspect of the business, whether it be lease negotiations, working with politicians, things that you don't even think exist in sports that really do. And the people that worked for me while there have all gone on to bigger and better careers in the industry. And I would put the salespeople in the minor leagues who start there up against anybody in the country, because they are the ones grinding and learning how. I mean, how many people really want minor league hockey tickets or minor league baseball tickets?
Right.
It's much harder to sell that than it is to sell Red Sox tickets. So you really craft your skill there and learn how to overcome rejection and be creative. And I think it's a great way for someone early on to learn what they like and what they don't like about the business.
Try and work in digital in some form and capacity coming right out of the gate. It's only going to accelerate. Often, I mean, this 22, 20-year-old kid that might be listeners, you know, they grew up in that world. You know, I'm 38, but they grew up in that world far more than I did, and it's only going to accelerate. No matter what you work in sport, even outside of sport, digital will be pretty much at the core. So try and find experience in that. And the last piece to that is a bit that I stole from Guy Kawasaki, who, if you haven't heard speak, YouTube him and his innovation speech. But he talked about niche yourself. And he really talked about that in companies, right? Trying to find a very specific spot. But I think it's an amazing piece of advice for individuals, because growing up today, you can be a fan of statistics and, you know, Dutch football. And there's probably a role or a company or something that hasn't been thought of blending those two together. And I think it's an amazing time just in the world of sport, from tech to innovation to the blending of the pro sports world to broadcast to product world to Amazons of the world. You know, all these companies are blending together and becoming one ecosystem. And I think if you can kind of find your passion that might be a little quirky or a little bit weird, you'll be able to make a career out of it. Where 20 years ago, you know, you probably had to slot yourself into more of a mainstream passion.
We'll hear more from Carl in a little bit as he explains how he turned his internship at Adidas into a full-time job, which is something all of us hope for. But first, one of the single most impactful phrases uttered on our podcast came from Andrew Howard, NFL communication manager, regarding opportunity and how it led to his job getting hired by the NFL. And then Amy Wells, Tennessee Titans broadcast coordinator, follows up with her own take on opportunity and making the most of it.
One of the best pieces of advice that I can give is that opportunities can come out of nowhere and be unexpected. But what you need to do is, you know, put yourself in a position for unexpected opportunities to occur. I believe, you know, I was given the opportunity to present myself because of the connections I had. But I think in terms of me being able to stand out, it was, again, kind of work ethic, determination, you know, knowledge of the sport. And I felt like, you know, I was able to convey that not only during this interview process, but previous to that, through my communications and connections.
With my first two positions, it was opportunity. They needed someone, and I was available, and I was willing to just go.
Yeah.
I was very fortunate in that I didn't have anything attaching me to anything. I didn't have anything holding me to a city. I was able to just pack up my stuff and go. And I think that, especially for those internships, I was well-spoken. I was able to kind of convince them that I could do a job well. And then I had the ability to go there to do that job. You know, I didn't have too much baggage. I could just kind of show up and start working. With the Titans, I think I had some good references, which references and connections are so important.
Oh, yeah.
I had some connections here already. People that I knew who were working either in the area or with the team directly and who I had done some working with in the past. So again, with connections and just having people who can vouch for you and say that you're good at what you do or that you could be good at a job. But it's all, I mean, golly, for me, my story has just been opportunity, just one after another, just things that kind of pop up. And I don't know, it might be naivete a little bit, but just saying, well, I guess I'm going to do this now.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of how it's gone. I've just followed the path. And again, I've been so fortunate that I haven't had to take too many other things into consideration. Just, okay, when can I get out of my apartment?
Amy nailed it. You have to be willing to relocate in the sports industry, period. Take the opportunity when you get it and go after it no matter where it is. As I've told a lot of you, I moved to Atlanta sight unseen from Boston because I got a job offer and I went for it. And then I moved to Seattle sight unseen because I got a better job offer after being in Atlanta for 7 years. Sometimes you just have to take a leap in the sports industry and be willing to move around a little bit. But to circle back for a second, when Andrew Howard says you have to put yourself in position to have opportunity, that might sound like a word game, but really what he's saying is, during your internships, you're in position for good things to happen. At networking events, you are putting yourself in position to have good things happen. When volunteering or talking to professors or building industry contacts, you're putting yourself in position to have opportunities arise. If you work at the mall, you're not in position to make something happen. If you just take your courses but don't get involved, you're not in position. If you decide not to volunteer at the golf event coming to your area because you'd rather party that weekend, you're not in position. You can do whatever you want. But don't go blaming anybody else if the opportunities don't start to pop up. You need to put yourself in position for the opportunities. It's about choices and about going the extra mile. Speaking of going extra mile, Andrew Howard has a thought on that.
Just because you have a connection, it doesn't guarantee everything. And so it's not just having that connection, but showing those connections that you're interested, that you're determined, that this is something that you want to do. And so one of those things that I kind of took to heart and I would do when I was starting out is I would email the PR directors for every NFL team, every MLB team, every football, NHL team, basketball team, sometimes colleges. And I would just send them an email saying like, hey, you know, I am interested in pursuing a career in this field. Do you have 10 to 15 minutes of your time to talk on the phone, email back and forth about your career, your path, how you do your job? You know, what are some challenges that you face and any advice that you would give? And what I found in that is, you know, you're not outright asking for a job because, as we mentioned before, you know, you post a job, 800 people are going to apply for
right.
it. Even if the job isn't posted, a lot of these guys are getting emails saying, hey, do you have any openings? Do you have any openings? And it's very easy for them to say no. But if you're able to build a connection with someone and show that, hey, this is something I'm interested in, this is something I want to do, you know, then what you're doing is you're building a connection that maybe down the road you can further, and maybe that does lead to something. And, you know, in that, I would also say that once you do get in, and this is something I encourage any intern who works in our department to do, is to not let that stop before the job. But once you're in the job, either emailing people outside of that, saying like, hey, you know, how do you do your job? I'm kind of in a similar way. But even within the own company and even within a different department, just having time to sit down with them to see, you know, what it is that they do. Because I think that only builds your portfolio, builds your resume, you know, in terms of experiences that you can call on.
Andrew was talking about building relationships in the industry and how to make important, lasting connections. Don't just ask for a job, start a real conversation. But what about building relationships with a pro player? Scott Rigo, head equipment manager for the 76ers, explains his approach to building trust and relationships. And then we go back to Amy Wells, who also has to build trust with players.
It's a players' league, and it always has been. So if you gain their trust, you know, and you work hard and you keep your head down and your mouth shut, not much bad is really going to happen to you.
Yep.
And that's basically what I always try to do, is just go forward, keep my eyes forward, my one foot in front of the other. Don't look back, keep your mouth shut, do your job, and go home. And some hours are longer, some days are longer than others, and you're doing your job a lot longer than other people are some days, but that's all part of the game. You know what you're signing up for when you sign up for it.
I am embedded with these guys all the time.
Right.
When they turn around, I'm standing there. I mean, I'm in the building with them. My office is right above the meeting room. I'm out at every single practice. I'm in the cafeteria eating. I'm on the team plane. We travel together. We stay in the same hotel. Like, we are always together, flat out just doing things to show them you want to help promote them, whether it's covering something that's a guy's personal foundation event, going out to do that, making the effort to be out at practice even when it is freezing cold outside and there's no real function for me to be out here except for seeing it. You know, when guys see that you're putting in the work as much as they are, and that you're investing in them and the things that they're interested in, not just in being around because you're getting a paycheck, those are the things that kind of go the distance. And that's when you start to get the respect and build those relationships.
Take that advice to any role. Amy explains it as a function of working with players, but really what she's saying applies to anyone. Be present, listen, engage, do the crappy work just as well as you do the fun work. And that's how you build relationships, and that's how you build respect. Speaking of building relationships, one of the big problems in the sports world is turning opportunity in the form of an internship into a full-time paying job, right? I mean, it's great to work for free while you're in college, but you got to turn it into some ducats. As I mentioned earlier, Carl Keating from Nike started out as an intern at Adidas and then was hired full-time with that same organization. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, hey, I have this great internship. How do I turn it into a full-time job? Well, Carl's about to answer that question for you.
I had the benefit of doing my internship and then having a period of a year in between then to really formalize relationships and have so many informative exploratory chats. And I think that's really the first port of call. And I know I've listened to a few of your pods before, and you guys talk about, you know, if you don't have connections, how do you get in? But it's, people love talking about themselves, let's be honest.
Oh yeah.
And the higher up you go in organizations, VPs, et cetera, they probably love even talking about themselves even more. And so there's always opportunities to have these exploratory chats. And then it was really after that, it's keeping in touch. So I had a number of people at Audi that I had never met, but I had been referred to, and just kind of kept up those chats, talked to them about the business. I knew nothing about the product world from, you know, the merchandising sales aspect. I really kind of came in from an agency side and the marketing angle. But I think a key point is not just having a one and done chat. And a lot of interns and people that I've, you know, been happy to talk to, it ends up being kind of an unfulfilling one and done chat. And I think the ones that really make fruitful relationships are those that, you know, are able to hit you up a second, third, fourth time, and not always with questions, but with, you know, sharing articles or, you know, seeing something in the news that I was, you know, or the brand was working on, and just sharing kind of some congrats or praise, or thinking of something that might be of interest to me, because no matter what job you're in, there's always, you know, other folks out there who can take notice and contribute some insight. And I think that's what I used really, to my benefit in that last kind of 6 months, with kind of keeping those relationships up while we were in school.
Almost every episode, I lean on our experts to provide something tangible, something really targeted that helped them in their career and led to their success. That piece of advice that if they were asked to speak to a class would be their keynote moment, that big takeaway. Well, I think that's a great way to finish up, a mashup of some of their best advice shared on the show.
You definitely want to quantify everything that you do, especially, you know, from a marketing perspective, everything is leading to some type of sale or some type of registration. So it's important to connect the dots between what the work that you did with the marketing plan and to how that translated into the success of the event. Another thing is to, like, I had a body of work when I started out. Like I said, I wrote for a while. I did graphic design for a while, but I was able to show, you know, a body of work through a portfolio. So that's important.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a written marketing plan, just, you know, come in with something, because it's very difficult. You can talk through those things, but it's easier for someone to see, touch, and feel, you know, exactly what you're talking about, so they can see that the evidence of, you know, what you're saying. So I definitely say come with a body of work, even if you blog, even if you just talk about, you know, best practices in the industry. I had a blog when I first started out as well, and I just kind of talked about what other teams were doing in the industry and what I liked about that marketing campaign and or that creative. And it just, you know, it created evidence that I was, you know, thinking about these things. I was trendy. I was knowledgeable about the industry, and that was important.
It'll all be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, it's not the end. That, you know, it's a kind of a simple thing that, but it got me through college in terms of, you know, if I would stress out about a paper, you know, I would just kind of repeat that to myself saying, I still have time. I can get it done. You know, it's going to work. It's going to work all right. And I even kind of repeat that to myself now, you know, especially if something doesn't go according to plan, because things seemingly always don't go according
right.
to plan. If I just kind of repeat that to myself, that I can get through this, I can do it, I've done it before, it'll be okay. It helps me. And so that's certainly something that when I was in that position trying to find something, yes, it's stressful. It's, you know, you're getting either rejections or not hearing back from people. But if you kind of repeat that to yourself, good things will come about.
The thing that people, I think, don't realize is how small the professional sports world is.
Yes.
It is an incredibly, incredibly small town. I could tell you right now off the top of my head every single person who works in PR, public relations, in the entire NFL, because I know them all.
Like, yeah.
They're all people I've worked with, and a lot of them for years. So you are one of 32. I mean, we say it over and over again. On our worst days, on my worst days, I'll look at someone at the end of the day and say, wow, this is really just a bad day, but I'm one of 32 people in the entire world that gets to do the job that I do. And not every team has a person like me. So it's more like one out of 27 who get to do the job that I do. And that is incredible. But that just shows you how hard it is. 27 jobs. That's it.
Right.
So if you want to get to that spot, you've got to take one of whatever the small job is that you get and then try to find a way to wiggle your way up in there. But the demand for the job is huge. The supply is so, so small. So whatever you can get that is remotely close to it,
yeah,
snatch it up, because someone else will, and then they're going to be a step ahead of you.
Listen, there's a lot of people who are passionate about sports. I mean, that's why this country gets behind sports the way they do, and that's why the business is so big. But they are definitely not all qualified to be in this business, to work in sports marketing or sports sales. It definitely is a skill set that either you have it or you don't, and you can definitely learn it. But it's just because you're a sports fan definitely does not make you qualified to work in sports. It is a business, and there is a lot of money at play, and it's a very important business that is generating significant to billions and billions of dollars. So while it's definitely from an environment probably not the same as working at a Bank of America or Morgan Stanley, in terms of internal and the people that are there, it's still, there's jobs to be done, and you have to do your job. You're not there to hang out and play fantasy sports. You have to make sure you're hitting your numbers, or
right,
making sure that the press is on time and doing everything you need to do to coordinate every event that you're running. So I think it's a transition that's hard for people, because they think they're going into just like you said, we're going to go to the bar and talk sports, where that definitely happens, but you still have a job to do that's going to require you to work a lot of hours and make sure you're doing your job well, because there's plenty of people lined up ready to take that job from.
In marketing, a lot of curriculum, you know, we focus a lot on the plan, and sometimes it's difficult to understand, okay, how do you take that plan and then execute it so that it follows the plan exactly?
Right.
So project management is something that I kind of picked up on along the way. And I definitely say, a lot of things you just can't learn in the classroom. You really just have to put it into practice, or everything that you learn there, just put it into practice. And it just really, just helps you to just become a better marketer and a better professional.
That's it. Some of the absolute best advice we've had on the podcast over the last few months. I hope you took copious notes and are ready to put these ideas into action. Thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe to the podcast, share with friends, give us a review, and keep listening. Talk to you all soon.